Welcome to this online healing retreat. Our program starts shortly. First, create your sacred space and listen to this music from the universe, literally created by the universe as mathematical equations were assigned to musical notes. The result is this beautiful music, available at AcousticHealth.com. Our program starts shortly. Welcome to this online healing retreat. It is Spiritual Tools, Techniques from the Great Ancestors with Miriam Delcato. My name is Loren Gailey, and I so thank you for joining us. This is session two, and we are really going to get into it today. Signs and symbols. Hello, Miriam. Tell us more as we get started.
Hello, Loren, and thank you everyone for being on the program today. I wanted to start off just by taking a moment to thank Loren for bringing this opportunity not only to the people that are joining in the seminar, but to me as well, because this has been a first for me to do this online in this way, and I have been bursting for a long time wanting to share some of this, and this has been a wonderful ease of opportunity, and I can often feel the energy of the people that are participating as well, and I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you to each and every one of you, Loren.
Thank you, Miriam. You know I've wanted you to play with me in this way for several years now, so I'm glad all is aligned. Beautiful. Thank you for playing.
Thank you. And I just wanted to also say that there were a couple of questions when we finished the program yesterday, and one of them was talking about the difference between imagination and what's real. And we're definitely, really, that's what this whole program is talking about. That's really the entire conversation is how do we stop imagining things and accept what is real? That's really what this is about. So we're going to talk much more about this in the next 2 days. And also, there was a question from Jim that we will be getting to as well. So as we move forward, please remember that I'm open for questions, and there's a couple of ways that we can do that as we move along. So to start this process today of sharing and having this conversation, I just would like to take a moment to bring in the energies and connect all of us so that we are sitting in this circle together. And I want to start just by bringing in the energy the way that we talked about yesterday, by just sitting comfortably, whether you're laying down, standing up, moving around, it really is not what it is important. What's important is, are you comfortable in your body? Because remember, we have all these aspects of ourselves. And all of these aspects, the body, the mind, which is the brain that helps to regulate everything in our bodies, and the divine brain. So we're going to be working with that. And then moving into the spirit, which is the aspect of ourselves that is participating today. And the soul that is connected to everything that exists and that carries all of this ancient wisdom and knowledge for each and every one of us. So as we enter into the second part of the programming with signs and symbols, let's acknowledge the energy that we worked with yesterday and just sit comfortably, close your eyes, and just let your mind become very relaxed. And as you're doing this, I'd like everyone to very much become aware of how you feel in your body. And imagine that all of those little cells that we talked about that are swimming around in your physical body, in your spirit, in your soul, even in your mind. See that vision in your third eye. And just simply take a breath in very slowly. And then let it out. And as we're doing this, we imagine these little drops of energy that are coming in through the top of our head as we're breathing with every breath and floating into our body and filling us with illuminated light. And it's moving through us all the way down into our feet, into the earth. And as this is happening, the energy of the earth is also with this luminous light entering up through our feet and a spiraling up and a spiraling down of energy. And then moving that out of every cell in our body and sharing that with the earth in the here and now. So just take a moment to sit with that. And imagine that each one of us here on this call and the people that will be listening in the future are sitting in a circle and that we are all connecting this energy together. And what we are sending out in this energy is gratitude and love and peace and light. And just imagine, use the imagination to visualize this, because this is a reality. This is what we all truly are, is energy beings in all of our forms. Even in our physical bodies, we are still beings of energy and light. We have just dimmed aspects of ourselves so that we can exist here on Earth. So take a deep breath in and then open your eyes when you're ready. And working with the energy of the white light is very much a protecting energy. And I remember often way back 27 years ago, as an example, you know, when I was really awakened from my own personal experience with the star beings, when they came and picked me up physically off the highway in 1988, well, they literally changed my understanding of what energy was and how to work it and how to utilize it, how to recognize it. And I'm sorry, I'm clearing my throat. I have a little bit of a tickle because I have a bit of a cold, so I apologize. If it gets to be a problem, Loren, you can jump in and say, take a break or something. So what happened was people were often telling me that I had to use my chakras and that I had to use the different colors for my chakras. And what happened was I actually was very confused by this because I didn't understand why other people's perceptions of their reality and their limitation, that's the way I saw it, is their limitation in understanding had to be placed within me. So never for myself at any point in time have I ever used the different colors in my chakras. I've always used white light. Now, white light is interesting because white light actually carries everything. It carries all of the colors within it, you see, because it is a very divine color. And you have to have white as part of the, let's say, the foundation of all the other colors. So when you're working with white light, you're being protected, you're being guided, you're being energized, and nothing that is on the dark side can get into the white light. So that's one other reason why I always prefer for myself to use white light. If you are the type of person that uses the different colors in the chakras, this is also a beautiful way to be able to bring in all of the different types of energies that exist. But at the same time, I would strongly suggest that people who use this technique also bring in the way that it was just described, the white light, so that you are fully protected and guided by the source of all things, by God, by the Creator. And so in saying all of this, there's a lot of information about energy and how we can utilize it. But energy comes in other forms. It doesn't just come in the form that we've been talking about in the first part of the program. Energy manifests itself around us every single day. And every single day of our lives, when we are just living daily life, we have signs and symbols that come to us, and the question is whether or not we can recognize it. What this comes down to, all of this, everything that is based in spiritualism, spiritual meaning a connection to our inner spirit, a connection to our inner soul, that's what being spiritual is, and then having that connection with the God source and with the other dimensional worlds. That is what my definition of spiritual would be. When we are spiritual, we tend to want to understand the energies and how to work with them and how to utilize them, which is the purpose of this particular seminar and most seminars that are shared today. How do we connect, understand, and then utilize the information? Understanding energy on a personal level, which is primarily what we talked about yesterday, and how it's interconnected and related to everything else, brings us to signs and symbols that play a very important role in the daily life of us as human beings. For example, in dream time, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of books that people have written about dream symbolism. When we look at Native American or indigenous symbols and what they mean to different tribes and groups of people, we see that there is a thread of similarity between most of the indigenous teachings as well. They have meaning for everything, a certain type of bird, a certain type of animal, a certain type of sky that they see. They're very, very, very much connected to symbols and signs within indigenous communities. Now, there is something that has to be said right at the beginning of this that is exceptionally important to understand as we move forward, because it is really the individual that isn't going to have to interpret what the symbol and sign is that is in front of them. It is an absolute must. So you have two parts to the signs and symbols. The first part is personal. The second part is universal. Meaning, if you see for example, seeing a bald eagle, which I did for myself personally the other day, seeing a bald eagle is often and almost always universally seen as a spirit guide coming to give you a message. That is more of a universal across-the-board meaning. And that a spirit has come to visit you if you see a bald eagle. But, and I don't mean you go out to a space where you're searching them out. That's not the same thing. If it comes to you naturally from out of nowhere, then that would be the symbol. But most indigenous cultures and most people and most beliefs see a visiting bald eagle as a messenger from the spirit world. That's the universal understanding of the sign. But then the question becomes, what is the reason that the spirit came to tell you something? And this is where people get stuck. And there's a way of doing this that makes this possible for you to connect in and try to figure out what that message is and interpret it. And that is with the personal message. So all signs and symbols are going to have these two aspects to them. The personal, what you get out of it, why are you seeing it, why has it come into your focus, and then universal, which is across the board, the reason why. So I'm going to do the same thing that I did yesterday and tell you some stories, because they're very good tools for me to be able to express what I'm trying to say that may be a bit complicated. Many years ago, I had a terrible, terrible dream. And I've had very few of these kinds of dreams, but this one was exceptionally difficult. I woke up one morning, and I think that I actually almost screamed when I woke up, and I was shaking violently. And I said, I woke up, and I absolutely knew, I didn't think, I didn't imagine, I knew that someone in my immediate family was going to pass on. And in this dream, I had certain signs within the dream. I don't want to get into all of the detail of it, but because it's very personal, but at the same time, it's a wonderful tool to teach. There were certain signs within the dream itself that I couldn't figure out at the time, and it was really hard for me to personally figure it out. I just knew that someone in my direct family would pass away, and it would be very soon. So Of course, I called my sisters and my I called everyone in my family and told them this. And of course, all of them were very concerned because they knew how accurate I was with different things that I have told them in the past. And I remember calling my sister, and she had three small kids and her husband, and I would call them every day, every single day. They had to be careful going to school. They were supposed to walk a little bit further off the road. They weren't supposed to be riding their bikes on the road, all sorts of things. And finally, one day I made my phone call, and I talked to my brother-in-law, and I said to him, "How are you feeling? Are you going to work today?" And I thought, "Oh, okay. Everything's going to be fine today. He's not going to work. He's going to be fine," I thought. Well, that night he passed away. He had a massive heart attack, and he left this world. This was a sign that was given to me through a dream, through the dream time. I had a very powerful dream. And when I woke up, I had the feeling, this is important, signs and symbols and even energy is about feeling. And everyone should write this down. Write this word down, what you feel. I am a very, very, very accurate, sensitive. Sometimes I'm wrong. Absolutely. Everyone's always, to some degree, we are not always accurate. Absolutely. But my accuracy rate is so high that when I go to someone and I tell them something, they listen without question. Normally, they listen. And why is that? So I'm giving you the key to this. It's what you feel. So all these things, as was said to me, you know, at the beginning of the end of the program yesterday, Petra said that it's not about using your imagination, when in fact it is. It is about using your imagination. To a degree, it is. And I'm going to help to be able to figure out what's your actual imagination, out of your mind kind of crazy talk, and what's your how to use your imagery of your divine brain to access what you're looking for. With signs and symbols and energy, even with energy, but with signs and symbols, you must look at how you, quote, feel. And this gets into the tools that we're going to be going into tomorrow. It's what you feel. The feeling I immediately had and the first thought that came to me, and I just knew that someone was going to leave this world, was what I focused on. And I said, okay, I'm going to use this, and I'm going to, you know, try to figure this out and give the message to everyone, because maybe there's a reason why they're being given an opportunity to change this situation. Now, what happened in this was the dream was something that, when I look this, the overall essence of the dream is, and this isn't what it is, but I'm going to use this as an example because it's close, that it's a party, that I go to a party. And I tried to look up, what does going to a party mean online, universally? What does it mean universally? And every single one of the, every single explanation said something entirely different. It was completely opposite to what it was that I felt it was. Well, ever since that day, and this is a lesson, this is a very clear lesson that I'm trying to share with you, that we can't get stuck in other people's perceptions of what things are, that we have to find our own way by understanding our own signs and our own symbols personally, and that yes, the universal understanding of things can guide us, but we may personally not have that connection to it. Ever since then, I have had this particular type of dream several times. And in each one of those dreams, I was able to figure out who the person was. Because when my brother-in-law passed away, I recognized something within the dream itself that clearly, had I sat down and really thought about every single tiny piece of the dream that was actually very clear, I would have been able to determine that it was my brother-in-law. So every dream thereafter that I've had in this regard, if I look at all of the details of the dream, for example, something happened with another family member, and in the dream, the floor that I saw in the dream was from my mother's home. And I realized that was a dream with my mother's home, so it had to do with my mother. So this is how you need to find things. Relate what it is to you, not to someone else. Stop looking to someone else. Stop looking in the other direction. You need to look at yourself, because this is how the messages will come. This is how the clarity comes. So in the dreams, you can see signs within your dreams, as an example, that relate to you or to something that you know. In your dreams, in these dreams that I have now, I may not see someone specific or even hear a name, but for example, at one point, there were, everyone in the dream was wearing a pink hat. I'm just giving a random symbol, but everyone in the dream was wearing a pink hat. And so I recognized that the person, the centerpiece of the dream, who that person was someone who always wore pink in real life. And I actually went to that person and I said to them, "Can we talk?" And I sat them down. I said, "Are you okay? Is everything all right? What's happening with you?" And they told me that they had some health issues. So you see how. And I knew that, but I also told them, "You're going to be okay," because in the dream, the dream was not completed. So again, if I would have listened to the symbology that the universal people over here were telling me, I would never be able to figure out these dreams. I would never know what they meant. I would never know who was involved. I wouldn't have been able to figure out anything. So this is about bringing it back to your personal perceptions, your personal understandings, your personal experiences, and your personal knowledge of this world and connecting the dots. This is about connecting the dots. So we have to be able to, first of all, recognize. That's the number one thing. We need to be able to recognize signs and symbols that are around us. And, you know, I have, my mind is just overloaded today because I've had my own massive influx of symbols and signs and things in the last week that are very powerful for me spiritually. And the first thing that we have to do is we have to recognize that there's a symbol or a sign in front of us. Okay, so I can hear you all saying, "Okay, how do you do that? How on earth do you do that?" So, first of all, again, lots of little stories in today's session will be shared. One day, I was walking down the street, and I'm just not thinking about anything. I'm on my way to send a letter off at the post office. Literally not thinking about anything. And I jump out of my car and I'm walking down the street. And I come back out of the building and I'm on my way back to the car, not thinking about anything. And out of the corner of my eye, I see someone walking. And I hear, I automatically thought, I automatically thought Jane. We'll use the name Jane. I automatically thought, Jane, what are you doing? What? New York, New York. She said, New York. That's not Jane. It can't be Jane. And I could have sworn that just for a split millisecond that the woman walking down the street who had similar dark hair to my friend Jane in Vancouver was actually her. This was a sign. Can you imagine? This is a simple sign. Now people say, well, what am I supposed to do? Am I, you know, what does this mean? If you're not thinking about something, if you're not concentrated on it, and then you see something that comes out of absolutely nowhere and puts a little nudge into your thought, that's a sign trying to come to you and tell you something. So I immediately, it was kind of funny because what I did, and this is how you can build up your confidence on these things, is just when something like this happens, that probably means that the person is thinking about you. They're probably thinking about you. So I picked up the phone and I called her right away and I said, Jane, what's up? I said, how are you? I said, I could have sworn I just saw you walking down the street here, because I'm brave enough to say things like that, because if she's not thinking that or wasn't thinking about me, I'm not concerned about it. But what happened is she actually said to me, oh my gosh, Miriam, I was just thinking about you and I was just thinking, you know, when you were going to call me and talk to me again, and I was wondering how you were. And she said, I cannot believe that you just called me. So what happened there? What happened? Jane was sitting at home in her apartment in New York, and she thought about me. And what is thought? What is thinking? What is imagination? It is energy. And when that energy went out into the universe, into the world, those little drops of bubbles and energy were sent out, and they traveled all the way to the connection to everything that exists here in this world and everywhere else. And I happened to pick up on it, because all of a sudden it manifested in front of me by this woman walking down the street and coming out of nowhere. And I recognized it, and I felt that she was thinking about me, so I called her, and it was a confirmation. I didn't necessarily have to get on the phone and say, oh, hey, I thought maybe you were thinking about me. No, I don't need to do that. But I strongly suggest that people begin to follow up on their synchronicities, on their little hunches, to start to build their confidence up, not with putting themselves out there, but by saying, oh, how are you? What's happening? And then that person was going to confirm it for you. Oh, I was just thinking about you. So the next time this happens, because it will happen and it does happen to everyone, they just don't follow through on it. And that's the confidence that we all are looking for, to be able to understand how to put all of this together, how to understand how to connect the dots. So Jane gave this message. She put it out there unknowingly with her energy, and I picked it up and I followed through. So this is a little sign, because someone manifested in front of me. Let's say that you're listening to the radio and you're just, you know, maybe you're driving down the road, you have the radio on in the car, you're thinking about dinner and what you're going to cook. And then a song comes on the radio that all of a sudden brings a very old friend of yours into your train of thought. And you focus on that person just for a moment. And yes, that can happen. But once you start to look at those random thoughts that come into your mind, you know what? How am I such a sensitive? How is it that I can connect to the energy? How is it that I can see different things that are coming in the future, have premonitions, dreams, connect to the astral world? Guess what? It's all about this process of just taking note of things. Stop yourself and just look at it for a moment. You don't have to act on it. You don't have to do anything with it. Just be aware, oh, I was just thinking about my friend James. And all of a sudden, James comes into my mind from out of nowhere. Then I think he's going to call, or maybe he's going to come to my house after not seeing him for a long time. And then all of a sudden, I will hear from him later. And what will happen is my confidence level will rise because I will recognize, oh, I did actually hear from him prior. I know this sounds a bit ridiculous, but literally it's this simple. And what happens is that we are making all of this far too complicated. We are making it too much of a process. Oh, if I want a message from spirit, I have to sit down and meditate, and that's how I connect. No, spirit is around us always. The energy is around us always because everything is connected to everything else. Everything that we see around us is that energy that at any given moment in time can give us the signs and symbols to everything that we need or want in our lives to enhance our connection to the spiritual world or to other people or to something that we're focusing on in a goal that we're trying to accomplish. Today I'm going to be sharing a lot of little stories with you because it is the best way for me to really look at, and you have to take this and put it into your own life and place this over top of what it is that you're experiencing in your life. And you have to do the work here because this is a really tough one. So being able to see the signs and symbols around you requires a lot of hard work, a lot of hard work. Meaning hard because you have to stick with it. You have to constantly say, okay, I'm going to try and start to put together my personal signs and symbols. And then you can start to figure out what's really happening around you for your guidance within, you know, as we keep saying, within your dreams, your visions. A vision meaning something that flashes in front of your eyes while you're walking down the street and you get a vision of something. That's a vision, okay? Looking at signs and symbols means that, especially in the beginning, and even I do this, I have to admit that even I still do this because all of us could use all the help that we can get. When something happens and it comes sort of out of nowhere and I'm wondering to myself, what is this? I just don't understand why I'm seeing this one number, for example, 1111. You know, a lot of us have that synchronicity of seeing 1111. You see a specific number or you're having the experience of hearing a certain song all the time or something that's repetitive to you that keeps coming back out of absolutely nowhere. That means something. Now, it doesn't mean something 100% of the time. It means there's a very high probability that it means something, and it's up to you to figure it out. I can't do that for you. I can't do that for any of you. It's not what this is about. When, for example, you see something like seeing an eagle, go onto the internet. It's a wonderful place to be able to find information. Go on, type it in, say symbolic meaning or spirit meaning of a bald eagle. What does it mean? And then read it. Read it, for sure. Go to another teacher, a guru, someone that you trust. Ask them what they know of it. And then see how it, quote, feels to you. Does that feel right? So if it doesn't feel right, it's probably not right. Being able to utilize energy, signs, and actually implement this in your life, what you have to do is you have to work at it, and you have to accept it, and you have to be able to analyze all of it. Analyzing it requires that you look at it from an initial feeling, an initial thought. And this is really important work here, and I'm gonna take you through this again as we move forward, because I'm gonna tell you another story. Sorry. As I say, my mind is going in a lot of different directions with this because there's so many different ways in which we do receive signs and symbols. As an example, I personally have been dreaming about New York for approximately a year and a half. I keep dreaming about New York over and over and over again. And in these dreams, I'm in New York, I'm doing work in New York, I'm visiting different people, all these things, but the place is always the same, New York. What that tells me is that I'm going to go to New York, because I've figured out that when I start having repetitive dreams, it usually means whatever it is that the dream means. And, 30 years ago for me, I was still having to figure all of this out. I was still in process of trying to understand all of this as well. But as a collective consciousness, which is what I believe John was talking about in the Jim was talking about in his question that we're going to be getting to, about this interconnectedness that we have globally, and the consciousness of the planet, okay? When we tap into that, what we are doing is we are able to access all of this different information. All right, I'm going to go to Jim's question. Is there something that we, all the listeners, should be focusing on in order to share with our own specific networks in this time of global oneness? And would that be useful? Is there a message from the star beings that the world needs to know? Is networking the key? So, 20 years ago, synchronicities were not happening in people's lives the same way as they are today. People were not seeing 1111. They weren't seeing energy. Talking about Reiki and being a Reiki master 20 years ago was very challenging. When you said that you were spiritual, people didn't even have a clue what that meant in general populations, let's say. When you talked about extraterrestrials 25 years ago, they thought you were completely off your rocker, and that was the end of that. How did all of this come about? Well, energy started to come to the planet in all of its different forms to help to awaken the people here. And part of that has been done through people like myself and the first, second, third wavers, I call them, the people, the souls that came to start bringing this energy to the earth so that we would have more access. And this has been collective consciousness rising. The collective consciousness happens on many, many different levels. It happens, the collective consciousness of Earth, the collective consciousness of all of the people who are focusing on the planet itself, the collective consciousness of those who are in darkness, let's say, the collective consciousness of the universe itself, of the star beings. There's different types of collective consciousness. For the moment, let's talk about the collective consciousness overall for the planet, okay? 10, 15, 20 years ago, when people talked about the fact that they had a sign, I saw a sign, and I know that the spirits came and talked to me. That was the end of the conversation. It ended right there. Now we have the ability, even in a general conversation with people, to say, well, what are you talking about? That's very interesting. And about 8 years ago, approximately 8 years ago, more and more people were starting to have synchronistic things happen where they would think about their friend and then their friend would call. They would think about a long-lost friend and then that they would run into them. These are synchronicities that are taking place and increasing all the time on the planet, more and more and more and more and more. So the reason for that is because the collective consciousness of the planet has shifted and we have sort of awakened those types of energies to be able to travel more easily. Remember, going back to the energy, when we talked about how the higher vibrational energy that we can carry in our lives and that we can walk with and work with, that when we do that, and we raise our vibrations individually, we can affect what's standing beside us and who's standing beside us. Well, that's become a ripple effect on the planet, both in a good and a bad way, positive and negative, dark and light. It's been affected both ways. Because of that, as well, when my friend Jane thinks about me in New York, about calling me, it's much easier for that energy thought, because as soon as you think it, you create that energy and it gets pushed out and it travels to wherever the energy is similar. Like attracts like. So that means that her energy is being carried to me where I am. It's coming to me because I'm attracting it. Because she's thinking about me, and I just thought about her. I picked up on that. And this is why synchronicities and signs have been more predominant in today's world. Because as a collective consciousness in the spirit and the energetic terms, we have changed the planet, literally. When we think about things as a sign, we think about, for example, a peace sign. And I know that with the world and the state that it's in, a lot of people are using this symbol of peace. But I have to ask each and every one of you, what does that mean to you? What does peace mean to you? And no matter how many people are in this conversation today, in this circle, every one of you will actually see this as being different. Because that's how signs and symbols are. There is no set, fixed understanding. Because the energy that we bring to things has both the personal and the universal. So yes, the symbol means peace. But the personal meaning of it is going to be slightly different for every individual. Some people may see peace as being an entire planet of vegans. Some may see it as everyone having a garden on their rooftop. Someone else has it in thinking that we go back to living in grass huts. Everyone has a different vision of what peace is. So that's where you imagine something, okay? That's the imagination. So, and that's where thinking about what it is, we have to be careful about what we're thinking. Are we thinking from the divine brain? Or are we thinking from the analytical brain? Because when we're trying to recognize different signs that come to us throughout our day, we have to be very careful that we are not overanalyzing and that we are not just making things up and, you know, that we are actually crazy and imagining things. As an example to this, it's kind of funny because sometimes you'll be walking through some type of a store and you're doing shopping. Let's say you've gone to the grocery store and you're going to go and pick something up. And you hear a song that they have on the system in the store. And the song is talking about, going to the park and swinging on the swings, you know. Then you walk out of the store and you're walking past some people outside and they say, yeah, we're going to the park later. And all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, you've made the connection between two different things. Well, let's say that then you go home and you turn the television on. I know, not everybody watches television, but regardless, let's just use that because you can still get some signs through technology and through watching the television and everything else because of your own rhythm that you have created. And then you go home, and the first thing you do is you turn on the television, and there in front of you is an image in a movie that you're watching. And you click on it in the middle of it, and it is a little girl playing on a swing in the park. If you are able to recognize that those were three random things, and that for whatever reason you kind of just made note of it, then what may end up happening is you have to analyze it for a moment and say, what does that mean? Am I going to the park? Should I go to the park? Is there a purpose in going to the park? And maybe then you call up your friend because you don't know what you're going to do that afternoon. And you say, you know what? Let's go to the park. Let's go for a walk. And then you go for a walk and you realize, wow, you ran into an old friend that you haven't seen. And if you wouldn't have gone there, you wouldn't have seen them. And they're in it from out of town. Because they, you know, they were only in town for 2 days and they just happened to have a couple of extra hours, so they decided to go to the park. Those kind of really miraculous little things can and do happen every day to us, each and every one of us. The problem is, and the issue is, that we don't stop to recognize them. Because when it comes to signs and symbols, it's one of the hardest things to teach and to share with someone. How do you get a person, an individual, to recognize something? First, there is nothing more to do other than to take note of it. Oh, song comes on, random thought comes into your mind. It's usually from a random place that something will happen. Almost always it will be something that comes out of nowhere. If you've been thinking about an old friend, if you've been thinking about, if you're thinking and dwelling on something, then yeah, you may even start to see signs of it everywhere because then your mind is trying to associate things to it. That is entirely different. What we are talking about is what spirit, what the energies of our collective consciousness, the universal consciousness, the global consciousness, the individual consciousness is trying to share with us, and how do we interpret that? Now, we have a very powerful opportunity when we are working with these kind of energies and these kinds of tools and symbols and signs, and that is to tap into the collective. But we don't necessarily even have to think of it that way. What we do and can do and does make a difference. It absolutely does. And the question from Jim is networking the key to all of this? And it absolutely is. This is what this is all about. Everything that we are doing and talking about, everything that all of the teachers and gurus and masters talk about is about the interconnectedness of all of us and how we can recognize that and just simply be with that, to allow those signs and symbols and connections and interconnections take place, how we can honor those connections, how we can be grateful and send gratitude for those connections. When I had the experience just a few days ago with the eagle, I immediately took a breath in, let it out, and said very, very quietly, well, even my friend that was standing right there beside me may not even have heard, but with my actual breath, to manifest it into this world and share it with the eagle, I said, thank you, thank you, thank you for the message. And that was a very powerful sharing from both of us. We gave back to each other in that moment because seeing something, we have to be thankful that we are being shown something. So even if it is an object that you are seeing over and over again, stop and just think. But think with your divine brain. Why am I seeing this symbol? And it is not about analyzing something. It is analyzing from a really heavy analytical perspective. It is trying to analyze it from the point of view of the spiritual point of view. And whatever you feel what you feel in your body. Feel your body. Because your body is this massive tool of energy that picks up what it is that is trying to come to you. And the feeling that you have helps you to recognize that there's something there. So we're in the store, we hear the song about the park. Okay, so what? I listened all of a sudden. I stopped as I was putting my groceries, the background noise that's always there in the store, I all of a sudden sort of noticed the song. Kept unloading my groceries. Yep, doesn't mean anything. But then when I walked past the people who were talking about going to the park, something, it grabbed me and I realized they were just talking about the park. And I just stopped and realized that that wasn't background music. And then I, in that moment, stop everything, sort of, and just take note. Just for a moment, just for a second, how do I feel? When you feel calm, a deep, deep calmness within your physical body, that's a sign. Signs do not normally feel radically crazy and energetic. They may sometimes. But these types of signs that I'm talking about are more gentle. They're just things that pop up everywhere. They always pop up everywhere. And when we see these signs everywhere, if we take notice of them and just say thank you and just let it go and send it back and take note and just go on with your day, don't think about it anymore and see what unfolds as well. So this is about finding your rhythm to all of this as well. So we're coming up on the top of the hour, and I wanted to ask Loren to come back on, spend a couple of minutes with me.
Hi.
Hello, Lorraine.
Wow. We could just listen to your stories all day. And, you know, I know that I'm not the only one writing down remembrances of things that I have witnessed myself in this way. So it's very, very helpful. We have some comments coming in that just Diana in Cheyenne says, thank you, Miriam, for sharing this information. This is answering some questions I have had, and you are saying things in a way that is helping me tremendously. I've been asking to know more about how creating my life happens, and here you are. Thank you.
Thank you, Diana. That's beautiful. I really appreciate that energy coming back. I appreciate that. Thank you. And I'm glad that it's helping. I'm glad that it's giving clarity through the storytelling, which I think is my way of teaching and sharing.
Yes.
Was there someone else as well?
Because those stories help us understand and interpret it in our own way. It's beautiful. Okay, well, we've got Petra with her hand up. Do you want to take that question now or in a moment?
I'll take it now.
Okay.
If there is something that we are going to get in later, that will be expressed, because I don't want to jump ahead of what we're sharing at this point either. So please go ahead.
Okay, so if you're on the call and you have a question too, you can hit *2 on your keypad and raise your hand. Otherwise, send us a question over the question box on this webpage. Let's go to Petra. Hello, Petra. You are unmuted.
Hi, it's me again. I just feel, you know, as you're bringing this information to us, there's so many comments I want to make, and, you know, I feel bad that, you know, I see it's a disruption to your flow and stuff, but I mean, you did, you know, when I first inquired about the nature of this seminar, you did say it was interactive. So, I mean, it's a balance, you know, to allow people to bring in their points of view and stuff. Anyway, so I don't want to go, I want to make it as brief as possible, but okay, your story about Jane, who I assume was in New York, right?
Yes.
Okay, I think you're assuming that, you know, that she was the one that initiated this, but the way you described when you called her, it wasn't like there was something really important, you know, but you're assuming that she initiated the contact and then you picked it up. But maybe it was you who sent it out, and then she picked it up, you know. So there's a problem here with the model, I feel. And if we're looking to the, even to the universal as being like greater than us, then, you know, the sign is so great, you know, and it, but if you look at the model of even the synchronicity, which was coined by Carl Jung, I don't know, 1930s or something, it's synchronicity he defined as an acausal connecting principle. There is no cause. That's very valuable. You know, I think each of us has a, you know, life, a path, and you've spoken about it many times in your book, and it's so wonderful to read that, to see how you're following your path. You know, the way I see it, we all have our own path, and then we are connecting with other people who are sharing that. So it's entirely a creation. You know, I love the idea that we're moving into the fifth dimension. You know, I've heard that coined, that phrase, the fifth dimension is not a location, it's a creation. So everything is a creation, you know. And so it's, you know, whether you look at it like we're broadcasting, you know, and then somebody's picking up that, you know, it becomes problematic. But, you know, if we look at it as individually, we have our own life path, and when we connect those life paths and they intermingle, then we get that connection. You know, it's not like anyone's, you know, even initiating anything. So that's my view on it. Now, I had a comment about your brother-in-law dying, and, you know, the way I see it, it's like everyone chooses their death. You know, I know maybe they're not ready, and you know, if they're given the information, if the person, you know, personality is given the information, they can change it and stop that. You know, but you know, I think you have to honor, right, that it's the soul's choice to leave at that point. You know, and if you're looking to change it, and you know, it's not exactly right. You know, and you know, it's important. It could be facilitated by allowing people to be ready for it in a culture where that is accepted. You know, that information could be valuable in allowing that transition to happen. You know, more better for everyone, kind of thing. You know, mm-hmm. but. So, and these, I know, you know, it's been part of my life many years, what you speak about, but, you know, you can look back and say, oh, there's a sign I missed. Well, you probably missed it on purpose because it wasn't meant to be, right, you know? So anyway, that's my input at this point. I don't want to disrupt your flow here.
No, and you're not disrupting the flow at all. And in fact, I think that the comments that you're making are of value to other people as well, absolutely. Because, for example, and to be very clear, see, you are the perfect example of how the universal understanding of something is always present, and then the personal understanding of something is always present in the interpretations, in the energy, in everything. We have that essence of who we are as individuals. I have seen and I have seen many deaths in the course of my life. I have had premonitions, dreams, visions of many, many, many deaths in my life. And in the very beginning, the very first time the deaths began for me, I think I was 12 years old. That's when I started having the dreams and the premonitions and the visions of death coming. What's important to know is that in all of this, we are not the makers of death and life, and that we are only the participants. So I think that your what you think is disruptive, which I don't at all. What your perception is of that moment gives me an opportunity to take that another step further, and I thank you for that. Because the idea that once we have these signs and symbols and dreams and visions come to us that we are in control of anything is not actually the case. Sometimes when I've had visions of people dying or getting killed, for example, I have to question, why am I receiving this? That's the question. Why am I receiving this? And that is a very big responsibility for someone like myself, because there have been times when I have said nothing and then the person died. And that is the way that it is meant to be. But I also recognize that at other times, people, the reason why I may have been given a vision over something is because that individual or that group or that has been given an opportunity and a choice, because otherwise the vision may not have come to me. And that's the way that I have determined this. And so at one point I had another vision, another dream about someone that I know that was a very dear friend of mine dying in a car accident. And I knew all of the details of the accident, all of them, everything. And so, I was not going to say anything to him because this was, as you say, it's not something that we are responsible for. It is not, I am not here to save people's lives. I am not here that I am not God. That is not my role. So I have to sit and feel and sense what it is that's right in this. And in order to even begin to work with these kind of energies, one has to take on that responsibility that we are not responsible for anything at all. We are not responsible for anything at all. We are only the experiencer in everything. We are only observing things, even observing our own self. So when my brother-in-law passed away, all that I am here to do is to support him in the process. And that's exactly what I did. I gave everyone in my family an opportunity to say, I love you, to each and every one of them, because I went and I told them that someone was going to die. So was it my role to stop him from dying? Absolutely not. If he knew on his soul level that it was time to leave, that was his choice, and it had nothing to do with me. I wasn't responsible. Hey, I'm not responsible. No, no, no. But my family did have an opportunity to say that they loved each other. They did have an opportunity to spend more time together if they so chose to. And that's what that was about. So I thank you so much for bringing this up so that I have the opportunity to share this second part to this about how signs can be utilized. Not to be controlled or to be looked at in some other way, but to be supportive of our personal growth spiritually. So another part to this is that when we talk about the signs, for example, when we were talking about the girl in New York and that maybe I picked up, that I sent it out to her, that can happen as well. It can go either direction, but that's not really the point, is it? And if you start to dwell on things like that, you will never have the insight that you may be looking for. Because the point is that you have to start to recognize that these things are synchronistic and that they are happening, and to be able to, if you want to, you tap into them and use them. Meaning, I knew that she was thinking about me, and in that particular moment, I know that she was the one thinking about me, because she had been thinking about me for the entire morning, whereas I had just thought about her for 2 seconds just before I called her. So it wasn't necessarily my brain, conscious Miriam walking down the street thinking about it. Now, it may have been on a super conscious level, but certainly in a very walking around human conscious level, no, it was not me. It was her, because she had been thinking about me all that morning about calling. So yes, there's that confirmation. And so I want to share another story about this, because it is very powerful, and it is something that we can tap into, as you gave me an opportunity to share with my brother-in-law and his death. This really is about how we can enhance our lives. What is the meaning of all of this? What does this mean? And you're talking about a model that doesn't fit. Models don't fit into anything, and that's the entire point of all of this. Models don't fit into any of it. That's what I told all of the people in Sao Paulo, Brazil, during the workshop that I gave there, is stop thinking about everything that you think that you know, because it's not going to fit. The universe, the energies are all in a state of chaos that is at the same time divine, a divine flow of energy and interaction. And no one individual soul or being has the ability to shift and change the entire existence itself. We are not God. We do not have that capability. So when we're talking about all of this, I'll share another story. I was sitting at home in my apartment in Vancouver, and I was watching some program on television. I have absolutely no idea what it was. I can't remember. And I all of a sudden began to, out of absolutely nowhere, I was watching a movie. I love watching movies. And I was watching a movie, and this friend of mine who lives in my hometown popped into my mind. And it was really strong, and we're going to call her Rhonda. I don't use anyone's first names because I prefer to keep all of my friends and family private. So Rhonda all of a sudden kind of came into my mind, and it felt as though it was that she was on stuck in my mind, and I was seeing her face in front of me in a visionary way. I could almost hear her thinking and talking about me. It was a very, you know, very powerful thought that I had about her, and I just took note of it, as I always do, just take note and try to let it go. And then I was walking around, and it was like I was all of a sudden fully concentrated on thinking about her, and I thought, what is this? Make this go away. You know, what is it that's going on? And it had just happened. Okay, so I'm going to answer some of your question here. It just happened. And it was so strong in my mind that after about 10 minutes, I finally picked up the phone, because there was a standing, running joke between us. Because for years, she would say things like, one day she was out curling with her friends, and she said, she was talking about me to her friends, and she said to her friends, yeah, I should really call Miriam. And then she laughed and said, oh, now that I've called her, because I've said this, by the time I get home, I'm sure she will call me. She always does. All I have to do is think about her, and she will call me. And so that's what happened, and I called her. So there I am, another situation. I'm sitting on my couch. She pops into my mind in a very powerful way. I get up. I think I was making popcorn or something, because I love popcorn. And I couldn't get her out of my mind for about 10 minutes. She was just sort of stuck on repeat in my mind. And I thought, man, I just want to watch this movie. I'm going to give her a phone call. So I called her, and it was hilarious, because when she answered the phone, I said to her, Rhonda, are you talking about me? What's going on? Because I can't get you out of my mind. And she burst into laughter, and she said, yep, right on time. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I've been sitting here, and her whole family knows me. And about at that point, probably half of them or more knew about my abilities. The other half didn't. And so a number of them on both sides were sitting at this table, and they were all talking about me for about an hour. And they had been discussing how I'm able to do all of these different things, and it was just kind of a general conversation that they were having. And then she said, oh, my gosh, Miriam, I just looked at them and said, you know what? She's going to call, because the half of the family did not believe that I did this. They refused to listen. Refused. Nope, you're telling a lie. Nope, doesn't happen. Nope. I don't believe you. Nope, not going to happen. So she had just said, you know what? I'm going to think about her, and I'm going to, and I bet she's going to call. I bet she's going to call. And sure enough, within minutes of her saying that, I called. So we have to understand that when we're talking about understanding spiritual energy and the signs and symbols that are around us, it is entirely up to our perception as to what it is that we choose to believe, acknowledge, accept, utilize, and implement into our own personal lives. I can ignore all of this, and I would have a boring life where I would not see or hear or know anything, and I think that I would probably feel like I was dead if I didn't have this connection personally, because I've had it my whole life. I don't think I would be able to function without it. It would be like taking away my eyesight or my hearing, or, you know, being able to breathe properly. That's how integrated this is into my life. So understanding that what we see in these synchronistic moments are so important for us to be able to recognize and feel them. We have to feel them. We have to recognize them. We have to accept them into our lives. And then what's the purpose And I think that that's the question that you're asking also, is what is the purpose? The same way as Jim is asking, what is the purpose of all of this? Is it to be connected? And how do we go about doing that? What is the real goal here? And again, the goal is that the more that an individual has the ability to spiritually and energetically connect to the everything that exists on the outside, let's call it the outside, it's really not, then and work with these energies and with these visions and with these signs and symbols and everything else, the more we are able to live in the most divine and beautiful way. It's really up to us to be able to do that. Lorraine, you turned your sound. You came in for just a moment, and I started to tell that story. Did you want to jump in?
No, thank you. That was wonderful. We're good.
Okay. Any other questions or hands raised?
Let's see. Not at the moment, and no more. We're good.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. Okay, so let's move this forward a little bit because as an example, again, this is, we're talking about signs and symbols. Symbols can mean a lot of different things as far as the peace symbol, you know, and we talked about that, how, yes, the peace symbol means peace, but what does that actually mean? Let's define that. It can go so deep into meanings for different meanings for different people. As an example, I am not an Indigenous person, and therefore I cannot teach in any way, shape, or form what any group of Indigenous traditional people has as symbols. But it is interesting how, and I will just point this out, that how history, our actual history from an anthropological point of view, that we are looking at the same type of symbols on artwork that has been shared throughout our entire history as human beings, especially in Indigenous communities, and how now at this point in our development and our evolution, some of these symbols are being brought to the forefront of our consciousness through different individuals who are teaching this and sharing it from everyone. So when we look at this, what we are able to see is that there are what appear to be these universal understandings of symbols, a universal understanding of the signs that are there through totems in Indigenous cultures, through mathematical equations. When we're talking about spiritual, divine, flower of life, the tree of life, all of these things that other people teach and talk about, putting this all together into the big soup pot makes up what we are today, makes up the world that we have around us. It's interesting because we used to live in a world that was only with what we would call nature. And in some ways, I beg to differ that anything other than nature itself, that everything is natural, that the computer even comes from nature, and we have to begin to also recognize that the understanding that we have that everything is in a different form, but still coming from the natural part of the world. Okay, going back to the dreams. I'm going to go back to the dreams and symbols again. Got a little bit off course there. When we're talking about how to bring the energy from our physical bodies that we go to sleep as we're going to sleep and taking it into the dream time, we can start to build our own understanding of our own personal signs and symbols. For example, dream work, where you're writing down your dreams as soon as you wake up, is an extremely powerful way of quickly and efficiently connecting in with the energy from that other world and carrying it into this world. And I have personally noticed that the way that I view this world is actually similar to how I view the dream world, meaning whatever I believe a symbol to mean here is usually the same in my dreams. So again, for me personally, when I have repetition take place, I know that something may be coming with that, and I just take note. Let's talk about earthquakes. Earthquakes. I'm sensitive for earthquakes. I have been right with my picking up on earthquakes much more than I've been wrong. And I have been wrong, and I will repeat that again always, because I think it's very challenging and difficult for anyone to always constantly be right, because there are those variables that come into play that we are not aware of, that part of the energy is not connected to us directly. But when it came to feeling earthquakes, I was still a young teenager when I started to feel them. And at first I didn't know what was going on. And I had to figure that out. And it really did take me a few years, probably about 5 years, to put all of the pieces together about what it was that was happening. And by the time that 5 years had passed, in around there, it became very accurate. So I want to demonstrate also, when we're talking about how to read signs and put them and implement them into your life, what's the purpose of them? Was the purpose of me having the dream about my brother-in-law was to think that I could save his life? No. But did I love him and love everyone in my family? Yes. Did I feel and sit and contemplate whether it was right for me to say something or not? Yes, I did, because as I said, I've kept my mouth shut in other circumstances because I've had to, because that was what I was meant to do. That's why learning this is not something that happens overnight. It is a process of one simple recognition at a time and then putting the pieces together at the very end of it. It is not easy, because we will always make mistakes as we go along, all of us. Every master that has ever lived on the earth, every great teacher and guru has made mistakes. And this is how we get up, we look at it, and we turn around and we keep going, and we continue to put the pieces together. And I just went somewhere else just for a moment. Wow. Right now something else just happened. Sorry. Oof. Sorry.
No, it's good. It's okay.
See, for me, I am sensitive, and I know that someone's talking about me right now, about what we talked about with the eagles. Somebody is having a conversation with someone else right now No, I didn't. I just felt all of a sudden that individual standing in front of me just now, and then I saw them talking about what I'd shared with them just before I came on this call. And again, this is not about justifying my truth and my experience. It is about sharing what I just experienced in the moment. And I'm taking note of that, and I'm just taking note of it. That's all that I'm doing. I don't need to call that person and have it confirmed, because I know that that's happening. I'm clear enough at this point. When I know that I'm clear, I'm clear. So let's go back to the earthquakes. This is a very powerful one, and I think that I'd love to teach this more to people and have that class extremely interactive. Signs don't just come from something exterior to us. It meaning it's not something we see on a computer screen or up in the sky or from a bird or from a cat or something exterior. It's not just that and symbols that we may all of a sudden start to have come up into our eyesight, for example, or something that we're thinking about that keeps popping into our minds that maybe we just can take note of. Or a dream, a repetitious dream. Just take note of them and let them go and move on. That's the way to tap into the energy of it. And then once you find out the answer to it, because you may be able to find out an answer, then, you know, then you can start to use that information in the way that you are maybe meant to, or to just simply help you along the way. Like with my brother-in-law passing, everyone was helped as a result of that, and it was a beautiful thing. So when I was very young, I started having some really strange things that were happening that I just did not understand at all. I'm going to tell you what that is after I explain this. Just bear with me for a moment. So I kept having this, you know, one little experience, and I thought, why do I keep doing this? What's wrong with me? And when it first started, I thought something was health-wise was wrong with me. And it really scared me for a while. And then after, you know, the first, I don't know how many times, quite a few times that this happened, I just took note and I thought this has to be something else because physically I feel fine. I'm not feeling anything different in my body. It's just for that one split second something happens. So what I started to do was I took note. This happened, and then I stopped, and I wanted to know how I felt. What did I feel in that moment? And how I felt was I felt off balance. That's how I felt in my body. I felt off balance. I felt as though I had almost blacked out, okay, just for a second. But I didn't, not fully, not a full blackout, but just for a second I felt like just pushed, or I felt like someone pushed me. And then what would happen, I would be walking down a hallway, and I would be walking, I laugh because it's quite funny to see me do this. People have seen me do it, and they're like, what is wrong with you? So I'm walking down a straight hallway, and it's as if I'm drunk and I get thrown into the wall all of a sudden and I'll smash into the wall. And then I keep walking and I don't know what that is. And I didn't know for the longest time. And then it would be done. And then 3 hours later, it would happen again. Just a slight little poof. And it's not as though there was a reason. I wasn't trying to step around something. There was no logical purpose and reason that I could see within my own physical body or my physical area of where I was walking. And I would just physically bang into a wall. And so finally I said, there has to be some purpose for this. What am I missing here? And then all I did was pay attention. Okay, I banged into the wall today, and then there would be, the news would come on. This is when I still watched the news when I was young. Huh, silly me. But I used to watch the news, and it would say there was an earthquake that would be somewhere close by, for example. And I thought, I wonder if that's what it is. But I put no attention to it. None. All I did was, quote, take note. Then it happened again. And then I took note, and then I started to look and said, is there an earthquake? Yes, there was. Okay. So then I started to take note again. Which way did my body fall? Left, right, forward, backward? What direction did I bang into? Then I started to be able to, sometimes, not always, be able to figure out what direction the earthquake would come from. So it would come from the west. Then I started to take note over the, and this took years and years and years for me to figure out. Then I would notice I would bang into the wall all of a sudden. It would be from a westerly direction, and it would be a moderate bang. Then I would say, okay, it's going to be an earthquake in the west that's going to be about a 5 point, and then I would just open my mind up, and it would be moderate, 5.2. I started to be able to figure out what the actual rate of the earthquake would be, a 6, a 4, a 5, a 2, not a 2, but because those are happening, we're constantly getting earthquakes. And the argument for other people has been, oh, well, you know, you're just picking them up because they're there all the time. Well, that's great that they want to believe that. And that's wonderful if they choose to do so. I'll share another story about this in Colombia. So the point is that the signs of what we are being shown are around us all the time. And almost always, what is a constant, okay? This is a key. What is the constant in the sign and in receiving a sign? What is the constant in it is that it comes from out of nowhere. So it comes from out of nowhere. The feeling that the girl in New York was thinking about me, the feeling that my friend was talking about me with her family, the earthquake that was going to happen as I was walking down the hallway, waking up from the dream with my brother-in-law. It comes from what appears to be sort of out of nowhere. You're not really thinking about any of these things. They just sort of kind of come up. So there's never going to be an ability to see them unless you take note and then take a note of how you feel, because that gives some type of clarity. So the note of how you feel within your body and what you sense about it. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it going to be soon? Just take note, ask yourself a couple of questions, and just do not remain attached to the outcome of the answer. Don't do it. And then just let it go and see how all of it unfolds. When you start to do this, your own personal connections to what it is that may be coming and how and why, as Petra said, which is a very important question. What is the purpose? Is this really happening? Why bother with it? What is the purpose? It's only going to have purpose and reason if we choose to have to utilize what it is that we can utilize and bring into our lives. That's the only reason that it's being presented to us, is if we choose to tap into it. So in relation to the earthquakes, what happened was it took years for me to figure out what the banging into the walls was even about. Then I started to recognize it and put it together and get my own personal confirmation. Then I started to realize that maybe the way that how much I banged into the wall would determine the rate of the quake itself, how strong it was going to be. Then I realized that the direction of it would also come to that. But for me personally, I remember one time being in a restaurant in downtown Vancouver by myself, eating breakfast. And another way that I felt it was that there would be a rumbling directly under my feet. When the rumbling comes for me and it feels like something is making me unsteady directly under my feet, that means that it's very close to me, to exactly my location. That's one of the signs I figured out. And I did this, and it was so strong that I actually gripped my little table on the sides and I looked around to see if anybody else was moving, because it was so powerful for me at that. There was a few years there where the quakes were, I was really feeling them very accurately. And I remember I'd have to look around to see if it was actually real or not, because I didn't know. And I still don't. We had a huge earthquake here. My entire house was swaying back and forth. It was super scary. I mean, super scary. And At first I didn't think it was real. I thought it was just another one of my signs that was coming through. And then I realized it was. So I'm sitting in the restaurant, and I feel this. And I actually looked at the people that were beside me, and I said, oh, my God, there's going to be an earthquake. And they said, what? And I said, there's going to be – I said, you know what? You think I'm crazy right now, but in about 3 days, there's going to be an earthquake right here in Vancouver. And I said, and then you're going to talk about this for the rest of your lives. I said, I kind of chuckled and I left. And I said, just stay safe and just know that an earthquake is coming. I don't even know why I told them. I just did. I think I was a little blown away because it was so close to home. So again, what I did was I recognized that a different form, it would sometimes come in a different form where I would feel rumbling, but I would still get thrown. If I was standing up walking, I'd still get thrown. So learning about signs and symbols is about recognizing them, finding what it is that's constant in it, and then putting that towards good use. What use is it if I know that an earthquake is going to be coming to Japan or to Australia or to Turkey or to something like that? I sometimes don't know. What I know is that I pick up on that, quote, energy that is shared throughout this world. And sensitive people who can sort of pick up on these energies and do pick up on them, because there's precursors to all earthquakes, absolutely. One more example of this is when I was in when I was in Colombia years ago in 2010, and I was very high in the mountains in Colombia, and I was feeling this swaying happen a few times, and I did not want to sort of look at that. I kind of just put it out of my mind completely altogether. And then at one point, I was standing there in the mountains, high in the mountains in Colombia, with my friends that were with me. And there were four or five of them standing there. And all of a sudden, from out of absolutely nowhere, my mind wasn't even focused on anything, I fell against my friend and almost fell to my knees. He kind of caught me, and I couldn't breathe for a moment. And all of a sudden I looked. All I did was, what did I feel? What did I see? What did I sense? I practiced this art. I've practiced not to think about it. Oh, I wonder what's happening now. What is it that this is all about? Gee, I want, no. Open your mind up with that energetic energy that we talked about, where it's being blank, thinking of just energy droplets. That's a very good way of clearing your mind of other thoughts that are going to muddle it up. And then what came into my mind was one of the most difficult, what was a very difficult flash as well, because literally I saw hundreds of thousands of people dead. I heard the cracks of the buildings. I saw the dust and the rubble. I saw all sorts of things. And what happened was I couldn't breathe for a moment, and my friends brought me over to a little wall to sit me down on. And finally I caught my breath, and they said, oh my God, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? And I just looked up, and tears were pouring out of my eyes, and I said, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people are going to die. And that was all that I could say. And there was nothing I could do. So Petra, I understand the question, because we are not meant to do things sometimes. But the energy of what and who we are is interconnected. And if we want to have the ability to be able to go into our dreams and ask questions about who and what we are, if we want to have the ability to go into the astral world and have the experience of sitting with the star beings or sitting with a master or sitting with our guides, And if we want to have the ability to speak and connect with others with telepathy and to be able to tap into energies that exist here on the earth and in other dimensions, we must accept the responsibility of these types of experiences as well. Because we are opening doorways into other worlds and dimensions that require us to be responsible and understand that we are interconnected. Not just think it, as you say, not just to think it, which can be our imagination. Yeah, we're all just, but to understand it and to acknowledge that. It is a very big responsibility. So between understanding what your energy is as the individual and then the cosmic, let's say cosmic energies of the collective, every collective, to understand how to tap into that as you as the individual and then utilize that in the whole to be able to send energy out, to be able to send healing out to a specific person, to a nation, to a group of people. You know, one of the most challenging things that I hear with people is that this anger and resentment towards people who are in darkness. For example, you know, there's a lot of very destructive people, individuals and groups on the planet who are harming other people. There's slavery still happening in our world. There's a lot of sexual slavery. There is a lot of child slavery that's happening, and these are things that people don't want to talk about. There is the manipulation that is taking place by, you know, certain groups on the planet to make us turn away from ourselves. There is a lot of darkness that's here. There is, you know, there are wars in many areas of our earth, and there are a lot of dark and destructive people. But what can we do about that? What can we, out of everything that we're doing here, what our responsibility is to understand that we are connected to that. We are not separated from it. We are connected to it. And we can help that situation by sending those energies out to those individuals to just send the white light, to just send the healing, to just send the awakening to them, to just send the love to them so that they may awaken. And again, it is not about what I project to them. This is not about that. This is about what I project with love and with light and with caring, and it is up to that individual soul, spirit aspect that's here in human form to accept it. But what we can do is we can be very careful with our language by asking that when we send this, that any part of that individual who is willing to, who wants to accept this energy, that it is theirs for them. If they choose to accept it. So it's not about projecting onto something or pushing our way in. It's about us being able to send something. So the example of the synchronistic moment and seeing the sign of what we're connecting to, it is not just about the positive things either. If we are constantly having, seeing something that is, an issue within our community that keeps coming to us. Maybe that's something that in a very much more subtle form, sort of pushing us towards working with that kind of, with that group or with that issue in our community. And at the end of all of it, it gives us great satisfaction. Signs and symbols and don't have to be something that's so esoteric that we have to make it into a big long story. It can simply be, do you want to be led spiritually? And ask anyone who really tries to tap into their spiritual self, which is what we're going to be talking all about tomorrow, about how this is to utilize this with to build your confidence, to guide your life, to find that easier path, to find out what's right and wrong in choosing the information that you may want to learn about. We have 10 minutes left. Loren?
Yes.
So, are there any questions? Is there any comments?
Not at the moment. It's good that you gave all those examples about feeling it in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And then the smacking into the wall. And so, you know, what other things could we feel in our bodies?
Very good. What we can feel in our bodies is we can feel things, we can physically feel things. So the feeling is physical, that we're being thrown into something, that we are losing our balance, walking. These are physical things that we can feel. But feeling is also things such as sadness, tears, happiness, joy, being elated, peace. It is about feeling what it is that we have in our bodies. And the feeling of peace, in order to understand what something is, we have to always ask for that feeling to come. And after some practice with you know, it becomes easier and easier and easier. What do you feel? Just look at it, let it go. Do not attach to it. Do not even analyze it. Just let it go. Because eventually what happens through that practiced state is that you become very accurate with what the sign is or the symbol is that you keep repetitively seeing. And over time, with all of these practices, you're able to have more guidance in your life for what it is that you may want to choose to do with your life, what path, what line of work you want to do. Often, here's another tidbit of something that's just coming into my mind over this. People often say, I don't know how much this has to do with signs, but when people are trying to make a decision on something, you know, maybe you're going to have a job offer and maybe someone comes to you and says, well, you know, I can go to school, I can keep my job, or I can find a new job. There's always going to be, no matter what, there's going to be three options. Normally, there are three options that come up for people. And through those three options, then there's branch off options. So you always have to, you know, I always suggest to people, if you're stuck in trying to make a decision for something, try to pull it back to what your three options are. And in doing so, it's all about how you feel. So if you sit and think about, well, if I go to school, how will I feel? Okay, if I do that to myself right now, I get all buzzed. I feel buzzing in my body because the thought of going to school for me, like a secondary education, is unnerving. And I don't know that I would feel comfortable in doing that. I was just thinking about math, actually. Math, going to school, learning math. So if I think about keep on going where I am, and I say, should I keep going with where I am right now? I have a little bit of a sense of excitement, and I have a peaceful feeling. If I think about, you know, in this moment about doing something completely new with my life, I feel really nothing. I feel as though there's a big void around me. So I should just keep going with what I'm going. Do you understand what I'm saying about the feeling? It's about connecting in with what you're put together with the signs around you, whatever they may be, because they are going to be different for everyone all the time. The way that these things connect is not going to be the same. And this is what makes me crazy in this community. It makes me absolutely crazy, is that no one is the same, as Petra pointed out, which is so important. We are not all the same understanding, level, acceptance, perceptions. None of it is the same. And yet we all have access to the exact same information. It's a paradox. So looking at all of this we have to step outside of what it is that all the past and present teachers, gurus, and masters have ever said. Because if we don't, we are never going to find the answers for ourselves. There are certain things within all of those teachings that are the universal teachings, the ones that do not change from individual to individual. Those things are things that say, for example, the only way to be able to understand this is for you to find it within yourself. You can never find it from another individual. The only thing that an individual or a sign or a symbol or the energy can do for us is to open a doorway. It's up to us in our spirit and our soul in order to walk through, to have the experience, to understand it, work with it, accept it, and then continue to move forward. So very, very, very important that we understand this, because other people are always going to be challenged by what it is that you believe. I think that that is also very important, because even at the very beginning of this, when we talked about meditating, meditation is about you feeling comfortable in your body. And certainly, if we say you only can sit into this one position, I've had so many people, especially, you know, 10, 15 years ago when this was still, I think, not in mainstream society yet, 15 years ago. And someone would come to me and say, I just can't sit like that. I can't meditate because I can't do that. Then they would just cut themselves off and walk away. Well, society as a whole is still in that process of cutting themselves off all the time, because they say, I can't do that because. And what my message has always been is that we can do almost anything. But we have to remove ourselves from the boxes and from the manipulation that we've had ingrained into our minds, our daily minds, that analytical aspect of self, and then the divine mind, the divine brain, because the divine brain connects to the other worlds. It helps our body to prepare our body to be able to accept this energy, because literally these energies and these signs do not come to us unless there is that energetic attraction. We have to work through our meditations, through our prayers, through our thoughts, in order to create that energy to bring it into life and allow for these things to take place in our world. So we only have a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to just bring Loren back on and close out with the two of us talking.
Ah, beautiful. Okay, well, thank you for all of that explanation. And we're just going to pay attention now in new ways and be patient with ourselves as we figure this out. Very interesting with what you said earlier about dreams as well. And so, you know, honoring, I've had dreams as well where you see unfortunate things. And by honoring that message, yeah, you know, maybe it was a different action. I think in one dream, in waking reality, I actually told someone to step away from an awning on the side of that they could have fallen off of, and that was because of that dream. So it's interesting. It really is interesting. So thank you for sharing on that. And as you said, that is a whole other course as well. We can go really deep into the dream time.
Yes, absolutely. The dream time is a very, very, very powerful time. And something to note on that is that back in 2000. My goodness, it's been so long. In 1988, 89, I had very strong telepathic communication with the beings back then. It was exceptionally powerful the first couple of years after I was on board the craft with them. And what happened was at one point they came to me and they were teaching me. They'd pull me out of they'd say, close your eyes, and I would hear the voice and I would leave and go out of my body, and they would teach me something. And when they did this, they talked about the dream time, and they said that some of them have work with the dream time. That they are the dream creators. They create the dreams for us.
Oh.
And I said, oh, no, what is this? How do you do that? I don't believe it. And they said, okay, we are going to send a mass dream to everyone around you, and everyone is going to dream about their mother over the next 3 days. In 3 days' time, in 3 days' time, ask anyone that you speak to, and every one of them will have dreamt about their mother. And actually, I did that. And 3 days later, that is what everyone said. I said, so did you have any dreams last night? And they said, yeah, I dreamt about my mother. It was so weird.
Mm.
I confirmed this by asking them three times to prove this to me. And I guess I'm fortunate that I've been able to do this as well for my own confirmation. I am very, very blessed and fortunate to have had this much confirmation. And they did it three times, and every time they did the exact same thing. This time we're going to send this kind of a dream, and then this kind of a dream. But all three times I would just say to even people I didn't know, I would say, last night was really weird. I had a lot of dreams. Did you dream last night? And they'd say, yeah. And they'd say, yeah. Anything you remember? I wouldn't lead them at all. Anything you remember? Yeah, I dreamt about such and such and such and such. So dreams are very powerful, and they are connected to the other dimensional worlds, and they are there to help us awaken and to work things out from this world into the other world. So it's a whole other conversation, and I'm very grateful for everyone being here. Yes, this is an opportunity for everyone to be interactive if they choose to, and no one has to raise their hand and talk, but if you choose to raise your hand and speak, I am absolutely ready to hear what you have to say as well. And I thank you, Petra, for giving me this beautiful opportunity to share another layer that I think now in hindsight, I think needed to be said. So I honor you for that again. And I look forward to tomorrow when we're going to be pulling this together about how we can bring all of this into our daily lives and utilize it for a better connection and being able to see our spiritual path and our physical path more clearly. Thank you again, Loren. And I thank the star beings and the beautiful guides and the presence of the energies that have been here with us. And I look forward to tomorrow. And just to say thank you to everyone, I'll see you all tomorrow.
Beautiful. Thank you. And I do want to say and share personal experience after yesterday's session one. And this could be interesting for all of you to keep a journal or write down the experiences from the prayer, the bedtime prayer, where we protected ourselves and we connected in and asked for what we needed to be shown. And so I'm going to go call my aunt. I got a strong message. She was in my field. So that's what I'm going to do, because that is the message that came for me. So thank you as well. And here we go, one foot in front of the other, being in tune with nature and following the signs and symbols. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Miriam Delicato, we'll see you in session three. Thank you too for listening and sharing in this space today. We leave you now with music from the universe. Literally, sacred geometry of music, as musical notes were assigned to mathematical equations. The result is this beautiful music, available at acoustichealth.com.